Right now, many churches are planning their budgets for the next fiscal year. Your church can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by joining the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 on the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline. Download the flyer and present it to your congregation today. Well, just this week, a new Issues Etc. 300 congregation is added, Trinity Lutheran Church in Brooklyn, New York. Thanks to that congregation, Pastor Wade Miller serves there. They join the Issues Etc. 300, including Issues Etc., in their mission or advertising budget to the tune of $1,000 or more, and so can your congregation. In fact, this is a very good time to do it because congregations are planning for next year's budget right now. Many of them are meeting this week, sometime very early in this month, to finalize budget plans and everything that's going to be included. We'd like to be included in your congregation's budget as well. Find out more at our website, issuesetc.org. Click support. You'll find the one-page flyer that we've provided for you there that will explain to you and your congregation all about the Issues Etc. 300. And a special thanks to Trinity Lutheran Church in Brooklyn, New York, and Pastor Wade Miller. I remember spending, it was probably the better part of 2 weeks, traveling around with a group of Lutherans in Lutherland. And it was a remarkable experience to be someplace you'd never been before, but to walk in the footsteps of those who I'd read about so long and studied so long and studied from so long, in particular, Martin Luther. Well, today the church remembers Martin Luther. This is his birthday. Joining us to talk about Luther the Reformer and traveling in the land of Luther, Pastor Christian Teves. He's associate pastor at Grace Lutheran Church in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and he's author of the new book, Looking for Luther, a travel journal of a theological, historical, and entertaining road trip through Germany's Luther land. Pastor Teves, welcome to Issues Etc.
Good to be here, Todd. Thank you.
The famous quote from Luther as he reflected on his own people and their either reliance upon or failure to rely upon the gospel. He says, God's word and grace is like a passing rain shower which does not return where it has once been. And he says, and you Germans need not think that you will have it forever, for ingratitude and contempt will not make it stay. Therefore, seize it and hold it fast, whoever can, for lazy hands are bound to have a lean year. On this birthday of the Reformer Martin Luther, do you think, in the case of the German people, his people, his prediction has come true?
I'm afraid he's correct, Todd. In fact, I just used that same quote in a sermon a few weeks ago. It's truly tragic that this rain shower of the gospel does travel through, and when it is not grasped, it sometimes does not return. And there are many reasons for this, but the downhill slide started in the mid-18th century as rationalism broke into Europe. And as you know, Todd, many of the rationalist thinkers, ironically, were German. So the country that rediscovered the gospel, if you so will, also sadly contributed in many ways to its demise. And so this downward spiral has been going on for well over a quarter of a millennium, and more recent events have simply accelerated that downward spiral.
You are native-born to Germany.
Yeah.
And traveling back there, especially to the sites that were once occupied by Luther and the other reformers, was it like seeing it all over again for you? How were you initially raised to think of the Reformation, Luther, and your native land?
Well, it's funny, and I bring that out in the book, Looking for Luther. I had not heard the gospel until I was 40 years old. I'm now 53. And I spent most of my life in Germany, and I was what I guess you could call it just a typical, just a nominal Christian. And I also mentioned in the book that many Germans probably go to church maybe four times in their lives, maybe twice vertically and twice horizontally. And I was just one of these. And ironically, it took moving to the United States and walking into an LCMS church for the first time that I heard the gospel for the very first time. And so as I returned to Germany then, and we go back about every year, every other year, it is truly tragic to see, for one thing, to see that most everyone is in the same spiritual state that I was once in, and secondly, that there is virtually no interest in Christianity or even religion, for that matter. And that is one of the reasons I wrote this book and point out the discrepancies between the way Luther is seen in the United States and the way he is seen in Germany.
How is he seen in Germany? Here, of course, we primarily learn about him, even in secular history books, as a man of the Reformation, a theologian, a translator of Holy Scripture, and in many ways probably kind of the quintessential religious reformer. How do the Germans think about him?
Yes, well, that's so true. And in a nutshell, I think the average Christian in America would see him more as a religious figure, and whereas the average German might see him more as a secular figure. And I talk about this in the book, too, and some examples of, if you were to ask people on the street, what do you think of Martin Luther? What do you know about him? And some of the things, which, true, you, one of the first things you would hear would be the Bible translation, but again, that's a secular event. And you might hear that the German language is today what it is because of Martin Luther, but yet you might hear some very unreligious things, that Luther was anti-Jewish and he paved the way for the atrocities of Adolf Hitler, or certainly in Eastern Germany, which is, of course, where his homeland later would be situated in Saxony and so on. You might hear today that Luther was one of the first heroes of the worker and peasant state. That, of course, is a code speak for East Germany during the communist years. From a similar point of view, you might hear that Luther was a lackey of princes, some kind of serf. And, of course, and to be totally honest, Todd, until I came to the United States, basically the only thing I knew about Luther was his coarseness and his vulgarity, and he is well known for very coarse phrases, and that's about all I knew.
And how did that change when you actually found yourself in contact with Luther's theology, albeit in the United States?
Well, this book can be read at many levels. It can be read theologically and historically. And I would like to think that the gospel presentation towards the end of the book is sort of the highlight. But when I heard the gospel for the first time in that LCMS church in Texas, for the first time, the gospel clicked for me in that it was personal. For the first time, I didn't hear something vague about what we must do. Very law-oriented, or we, or generic, or people. For the first time, I heard for you. For the first time, Todd, I heard that Jesus died for your divorce. And I was in my first marriage. My first marriage ended in divorce. And I heard the pastor say, "Jesus died for your broken family." And Todd, that hit me like an arrow straight through the chest. And I finally made the connection that what I had heard or not heard about Jesus for almost 40 years, there was a direct personal connection. And that's when I would assume the Holy Spirit had been calling me for a long time, but I had always rejected him. But at that moment in time, Todd, my ears became unstopped, and I did hear the gospel for the first time, thousands of miles away from where Luther rediscovered the gospel.
That place, as you point out in your book, is no longer standing, the tower where the famous tower experience relayed by Luther originally took place is now, I think, some kind of a courtyard, although they do some excavation there. But I guess I'm curious, in revisiting these lands, places where Luther wrote and thought, taught, and walked and lived, which place stands out the most to you?
It would probably have to be that no longer standing tower of the tower experience, because that was, for the first time, Luther understood the depth of Romans 1:17, the one who by faith is righteous shall live. Because, of course, Luther had learned as a monk and basically, typically in the church of his day, he had been taught, as you know, that God is a God of the law, and we must somehow attain His righteousness. And since it seems so impossible to attain His righteousness, all we receive is wrath and condemnation. And when that nutshell of Romans 1:17 was cracked open for him in his mind, that was when the gospel just blossomed forth, and he realized that it is not the righteousness that we must attain, which is impossible to do, of course, but it is Christ's righteousness that is placed on our shoulders, as Isaiah says in chapter 61, the righteousness is placed on our shoulders. And I venture to say that is, for me, that is the start of the Reformation. When this happened, scholars are not quite sure what year that was. Many think it was 1513, but that was maybe where the first little seed popped up out of the ground.
When we come back from this break, we'll continue our conversation with Pastor Christian Teeves, Associate Pastor at Grace Lutheran Church in Tulsa, Oklahoma, author of the new book, Looking for Luther, a travel journal of a theological, historical, and entertaining road trip through Germany's Lutherland. Dr. Lawrence White of Our Savior Lutheran Church in Houston, Texas, on why they support Issues Etc.
Our Savior in Houston has deliberately included Issues Etc. as a significant part of our outreach ministry, and we regard every dollar that we've committed to this ministry as a dollar well spent in the extension of the kingdom of God, the proclamation of the Lord Jesus Christ, the demonstration that our Lord Jesus is not irrelevant to what's going on in the culture, that our historic biblical Lutheran theology is more urgently needed at this moment than at any other moment in history, and Issues Etc. is in the forefront of that movement.
To find out how your congregation can support this worldwide outreach, visit the support page of our website, issuesetc.org, and look for the Issues Etc. 300.
When we say Lutheran, we mean Lutheran. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Wouldn't it be great if more of your fellow parishioners listened to Issues Etc.? Well, here's an easy way for you to publicize Issues Etc. at your church. Go to the support page of our website, issuesetc.org, and you'll find a short paragraph to include in your weekly church bulletin. Copy and paste the text for your church secretary or pastor to include each week in the Sunday bulletin. The bulletin blurb is updated weekly, issuesetc.org. Stay connected, issuesetc.org.
This is a message for members of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Thrivent Financial has a new charitable grant program called Thrivent Choice. Thrivent Choice allows you to designate charitable outreach funds to Lutheran Public Radio. For more information, look for the Thrivent logo under the Donate page of our website, issuesetc.org, or ask your Thrivent representative about Thrivent Choice. Help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. with Thrivent Choice.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. We're talking about Luther the Reformer on this Wednesday, November the 10th, the birthday of 16th century Reformer Martin Luther. Our guest, Pastor Christian Teeves, author of the book Looking for Luther. I'm so proud of our listeners. I always am, but they always come to our aid. We gave our listeners a new opportunity, a new way to support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. several months back, and they have really come through. In fact, just this month, our listeners have designated $715 through Thrivent Choice, and every month we get an update on those figures. We'll say that our listeners are very consistent, and they're also very generous through Thrivent Choice. It's a new program. You can find out more about it by going to our website, issuesetc.org. Click Donate and look for the Thrivent Financial for Lutherans logo. When you click there, it'll take you straight to a page that tells you all about Thrivent Choice and how you can help support the worldwide outreach through Thrivent Choice of Issues, etc. Now, you need to search for Lutheran Public Radio because Lutheran Public Radio produces Issues, etc. Thank you in advance for all your help, and to everybody who is helping us through Thrivent Choice, thanks to you too. Pastor Teeves, when someone visits, perhaps for the first time, the lands of Luther, what is it you think would surprise them the most?
Well, it's interesting that today on Luther's birthday, November 10th, it also marks the 21st anniversary of the fall of the Berlin Wall. So I think the November 8th and 9th, 1989, still are very fresh in the minds of most Americans. So I would think they would have a picture of East Germany in their minds, of a shabby country, various shades of gray and decrepit and run down, maybe even some bullet holes left over from World War II. And I think they would be very surprised to see that Eastern Germany is now a country that is really, it's essentially on the same high level as Western Germany. It is a beautiful area, but to be honest, it has several advantages over West Germany. One, since it is still relatively undiscovered, it is not as overrun as your classic tourist sites, Neuschwanstein and Rothenburg ob der Tauber and Heidelberg and so on. So it is not very overrun. In some ways, Todd, East Germany was able to skip many, many decades of modernization. And so in some ways, they jumped from 1930s technology to 2000s technology in a matter of 1 or 2 years. So it is surprisingly viable and accessible. It's not crowded, and there are so many gems, especially if you're a fan of Luther or the Reformation, in a relatively small area that you can travel easily, I would say, easily within a week.
One of the places that many people desire the most to see is the Castle Church at Wittenberg. Mm-hmm. Paint a picture of this place for us and describe the events that have permanently placed it on the map of Christian history.
Yes, well, the Castle Church is one of the two main churches in Wittenberg, the other one being the City Church. And the Castle Church is, of course, where Luther and Melanchthon are both buried. And the entire old town of Wittenberg is straight out of a picture book. It's a glorious little Renaissance town. Virtually all of the old buildings are intact, and thanks to the billions and billions of euros that have been pumped in to Eastern Germany since reunification, I would say 95% of all the old buildings have been redone and modernized. So it is a classic Renaissance city, and of course the Castle Church is where it is said that on October 31st, 1517, on its door that Luther posted the 95 Theses. Now it is interesting, whereas that date is not disputed, it is in fact, and many people don't know this, the exact location of which door it is in fact in dispute. In other words, it could just as easily have been one of the doors of the nearby university. But legend has it that it was the Castle Church door, and that's where he posted his 95 Theses, essentially calling academia and the church to a discussion as to the many, many points that he wished to discuss where the Catholic Church had seemed to stray very, very far from the original teachings of Scripture. And as you know, many of them, in fact, the very first of the theses begins with repent. And as we also know, it was not Luther's intention to, well, open the Pandora's box, which somehow was opened. All he wished to do was to cleanse the church of its errors and abuses and move forward. But sadly, as we know, this hand of friendship was not accepted, and it did lead to an entirely new confession, if not many more.
Then with the few minutes that are left to us, Pastor Teeves, near the end of your book, you list three great legacies of the reformer Martin Luther on this, his birthday. What are those three great legacies?
Yes, well, in step with the thesis of the book that we value the religious or the theological contributions of Luther most, the three points that I would suggest is that Luther rediscovered the gospel in the sense that, as we said earlier, over the centuries, the gospel teaching of Scripture had been masked over, had been obscured, had been hidden by layers and layers of man-made abuses and errors. And again, Romans 1:17 cracked that open. The second point I would offer is that Luther led Christianity back to biblical truth. In the book, I have various stories with the children on our trip that we took there, and I like to think that it's an entertaining read. And the children discover, and the reader discovers as well, how the church over the centuries had, if you will, driven off the highway of orthodoxy and had crashed in a swamp of false teaching. And I think under the second point, Todd, we can sum up the doctrinal insights in the four solas, solus Christus, sola gratia, sola fide, sola scriptura, that it is Christ's righteousness, Christ's work on the cross alone that brings us salvation. This is done by grace alone, through faith alone, and as revealed in Scripture alone. And then, interestingly, I would submit as the third point, Luther's doctrine of the two kingdoms. And that had a huge impact on the interrelationship between church and state in Western civilization. Because prior to Luther, as you know, there was a very close interweaving of church and state. I mean, for heaven's sakes, the Pope had standing armies, and he was so closely involved in politics, and he deposed princes and kings and emperors. And Scripture, and as Christ points out several times, Christ says, render to Caesar what is Caesar's, render to God what is God's. And Luther picked up on this, and that is one of the great treasures that we as Lutherans have, is this doctrine of the two kingdoms. And I dare say that can also be found in the way the United States government operates itself and how we as churches operate in this country.
Folks, when you purchase Looking for Luther, a travel journal of a theological, historical, and entertaining road trip through Germany's Lutherland, using the Amazon.com link at our website, a percentage of your purchase will help support the worldwide outreach of Issues, etc. IssuesETC.org. Click Listen on Demand. Check out Looking for Luther by Pastor Christian Teeves. He's associate pastor at Grace Lutheran Church in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and author of Looking for Luther. If you would, give Pastor Beecroft our warmest regards, and thanks for being our guest.
My privilege. Thank you.
When we come back from this break live this Wednesday afternoon, November the 10th, we're going to be spending some time with Pastor Tom Eckstein. He's pastor of Concordia Lutheran Church in Jamestown, North Dakota. He has written a new book called Bearing Their Burden, Speaking the Truth in Love to People Burdened by Homosexuality. We'll see what he has to say. We'll get to some of your questions from Facebook as well. We are giving away a copy of Bearing Their Burden to the listener with the best question or comment in the next hour of the program. So remember our call-in number, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. You can send us a tweet at @issuesetc or leave a question or comment for Pastor Eckstein on Bearing the Burdens of Those Struggling with Homosexuality at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc, facebook.com/issuesetc. When we come back, it is a struggle against sin like every other sin. So, with all those things that are particular to the inclination of homosexuality, how does the church address this today, especially when many who either are struggling with this or have loved ones who are struggling with this are already primed by the culture to not want to hear anything that the Christian may have to say? Pastor Tom Eckstein will be our guest in Hour 2 of Issues Etc. in 7 minutes.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.